wish you can go back and talk to your teenage self and tell him or her that everything will turn out okay? If I can go back and talk to 17-year-old Jasmine, I would tell her that she'll be fine. And that if she works hard and has the right attitude, she can do whatever she puts her mind to. And okay, fine, I get it. It might be impossible to speak to 17-year-old Jasmine. Well, life took a funny, amazing turn because that is exactly what I told a group of high schoolers last month. Now, before you kind of like pause the podcast or maybe you're going to move it forward, I have to say, let me back up. Let me explain that the same message I tell them is the same message I would tell anybody of any age. So I was invited to speak at Spark U. This was an event hosted by Brandman University and the Roar Society. And I was invited to speak to high school senior girls about the difference between building a business with influence and being an influencer. And yeah, you know, I sprinkled a little love in, a little tough love. But I hope that when you listen to this keynote, that you take to heart what I say, because sometimes, just sometimes, us adults need to hear it too.
Hi, ladies. How are you? Okay, good. You know, I have to say, you could be anywhere else right now. So if I ask you how you're doing, you could be on the streets of East Los Angeles. You could be in the snow in the Midwest. You could be on the cold East Coast. You just had an amazing lunch. You've been busting and you're not at school. How are you guys doing today? Okay, good. Good. I'm so excited because when I have the opportunity to stand in front of you today, it is an honor because look at me. I'm already getting choked up. This is like, I never cry on stage and you put me in this room. All of a sudden it's like, oh, see, Jade Electra left her energy, right? I heard y'all cried. I heard there was some crying. So my dad was a college cook and he flipped burgers. And he took me and my sister, and he walked us through a college campus. And he said, you will be here. He was an immigrant. And he walked us through that college, and he said, you will be here. We had no idea how it was going to happen. So can you just imagine, all these years later, I walk in, and I have the opportunity to speak at a university? Hot dang. That is just amazing. And here's the thing, y'all. I didn't cry. We call them gangster tears. If your eyes fill up, but they don't fall, gangster. All right. Okay, so I wanted to note where the emergency exits are. We have them here to the left and to the right. And it's at this time where I would love for us to leave our supplications, our requests, our desires, our intentions outside. Because what happens is at school and probably in this room, there are some of us who are popular. There are some of us who are thinner. There are some of us who are more talented in acting or in sports. And because of those titles, you come into a room like this and you think that there's this hierarchy. We call this moment that I'm going to get to in a second. And I call it the totem pole of success. But before I get there, I have to just come out and tell you, I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that I would be standing in Orange County, California. I didn't have the capacity to dream this big. I never ever thought that a girl from the hood could not just live out here, but thrive out here. Because whenever people talked about Orange County, the only idea I ever had was this place that was close to Disneyland. Not literally close to Disneyland, but in my mind, it felt like Disneyland. In this town, in the faraway land called Corona Del Mar. And my dad, we had this beat up Volkswagen. And it couldn't go up hills. So we would go to Corona Del Mar down the flower streets and he would park up and we would put our backpacks and we'd go walking down that big hill. Does anybody know the big hill? Okay. And then after a long day in the sun, eating homemade sandwiches, we had to climb back up the hill to get to the car. And in my mind, Corona Del Mar was like a place that we would never, ever live. And now I get to eat there at dinner with my husband. I get to take my dad back and treat him to dinner. I never thought that this would be my life. I grew up in a rough and tumble kind of neighborhood. My dad is an immigrant from Mexico. My mom's from Puerto Rico. And they met on the streets of East Los Angeles, California. That's where they met. That's where they fell in love. That is home for me.
When people talk about, oh, where are you from? Well, I'm from California, but I'm an LA girl through and through. And when I had the opportunity to move to Orange County, one of the first things my dad said, oh, you're so fancy now. Oh, you know, drink like this because you live in Orange County? Yeah, daddy, I am. And I'm gonna get you there too. Okay. So let's just talk about how I grew up. I grew up very, very, very simply. And I say that with honor to my parents. My family was the family who got government assistance. You will never ever eat good cheese until you've had government cheese that refuses to melt in the microwave. Can anybody attest? Government cheese is the best cheese. Thank you back there. There's one person who's being honest. We had a tin of peanut butter that probably weighed like 15 pounds. We would get bags of pinto beans. That was how my family survived. The church took donations for my family. They left gifts on the porch for us. We were so poor living in the barrio that our neighbors were giving us food. That's how poor we were. You know it's bad when people in your neighborhood are giving you a box of lemon yogurt, guava juice, whatever was in the bargain bin at Lucky's grocery store. That's what we got. Now, my family, though we had nothing, were rich. We were rich in culture, we were rich in love, we were rich in support. And what my family didn't have, my parents made up for it. My mom homeschooled us because she didn't like the neighborhood, that she didn't feel safe with us going to school. But we couldn't afford textbooks. So in the summer, my mom would walk herself down to the elementary school and she would dumpster dive because the teachers would throw away books because they were missing pages. My mom would get like 8 books and she would reassemble a book for us. That to me taught me how to take whatever you have and make it work. Everything I have in my life, everything I have in my business, my parents taught me to take what you have, however little you think it is, and turn it into something magical. Still to this day, my father says, I took every job so that my children would never have to do a job that they hate. My father, with no experience, would climb a tree with a belt. Okay, this is jacked up. Climb a tree with a belt for $30 a day to cut trees. He was a cook at a university, and to make ends meet, he also worked at Big Five Sporting Goods during the holiday season. He was putting shoes on families of kids, and he knew himself he couldn't afford the same shoes. He taught me the value of showing up and doing whatever it takes to work. So you can just imagine when I was 17 years old, I completely and totally felt scared, lost, and completely unprepared. My dad barely graduated high school. My parents didn't go to college. They had no idea what FAFSA was. They had no ideas for scholarship. They had never even seen a college application. So I got to this point in my life and I'm like, who do I ask? I know no one. Nobody in my neighborhood went to college. My biggest dreams was that I would be able to wear like high heels with a briefcase. I had no idea what that meant because everybody in my neighborhood, trash collectors and gardeners and housekeepers. So in my mind, I had nobody to turn to. So as we sit in this room, the thing that I want to bring us back down to is the totem pole of success. I started off the conversation by saying, oh, there was other people who had more and did more in high school. And guess what, ladies? It's going to be in life. Somebody will have a bigger house, they will have a nicer car, they will have a smaller waist, they'll have a better looking partner, they'll have perfect little kids, and you could say, well, they succeed because of that. You see, Jasmine, I can't succeed because look what life dealt me. I'm living with 18 people in a one-bedroom apartment. You see, Jasmine, I'm wearing the same clothes every other day, washing them at night because I hope that people aren't going to notice that this is the same thing I've worn for every other day the past year. I am telling you here today that what you are going through is making you who you're supposed to become. So you could sit here and be like, life dealt me a short stack. Or you could say, I have the stack that I need to get me to where I want to go. Today is different. We're not putting people above us or below us. In a totem pole where you think they have a lot of social followers, less social followers, really smart, I'm really dumb, really popular, I'm not, no. This totem pole of who's above you and who's below, let's turn it on its side and let's create a circle. And let's look to the girl next to us and in front of us and behind us and say that today we're doing this different and we're going to do it together. That in this very room, there is one person who will transform your life. It could be the girl you completely unsuspect. And 5 years later, and 10 years later, and 20 years later, you'd be like, do you remember that day that we were at Brandman? I'm going to tell you a story rather quickly. But I want to start here. I told myself I wasn't able to do what I wanted. I told myself I couldn't go to college because I didn't have money. And then all of a sudden I got scholarships. I told myself that I couldn't pursue a degree in art, even though I wanted to be very creative, because that's not what girls from the hood do. When you get out of the ghetto, you don't say, I'm gonna be a starving artist. No, you go and say, how do I get a job? How do I make money? How do I get my parents out of the hood? I told myself that I couldn't go to law school because I couldn't afford it. I was too dumb to get in. Today, ladies, let me save you a lot of time and energy. If you tell yourself you will not be able to do something, you're right. And if you tell yourself you will be able to do something, you're right. The choice is yours. I'm asking you today, what will you tell yourself? Because I am living testament that the minute I changed my mindset, the minute I said, you know what, let me prove them wrong, everything came possible. When you walk out of these doors, whoever doubts you, whoever questions you, whoever fills you with fear, prove them wrong. That is a decision that only you will make. So for the next 25 minutes, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to lay a case. I should also let you know I'm going to beat you to the punch. I dropped out of law school. We're going to get to that in a second. I'm a proud failure. But I'm going to walk you through real quick, 20 minutes, because I want to use the most of our time to answer questions. This is what I do professionally. People pay me a lot of money to ask me questions. I'm like, I want to show up to Brandman. I want to do it for free. I want to be like, what can I do for you? Use me. Have the courage to raise your hand and ask for anything you want. So I'm going to ask a question. If you guys have your notes, can you write this? Write the answer to this. If you could do one thing for the rest of your life and be happy, what would it be? If you could do one thing for the rest of your life and be happy, what would it be? Now, y'all, no one's gonna look at your notes. If you wanna join the circus, write join the circus. If you wanna be a professional dog walker, write a dog walker. If you wanna be an actress, write an actress. I don't care. Right now, there's nobody looking. If you could do one thing for the rest of your life and be happy, what would it be? I'm gonna return to this. Because I want you to write it in your notes. I want you. There's science actually shows that when you write something, your brain sees it. And when your brain sees it, it maps your actions to it. So, for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Jasmine Starr, and I am a photographer and business strategist from Newport Beach, California. And myself and my husband are the co-founders of Social Curator. This is a business that empowers small business owners to build a brand and market it on social media. Now, you know like how on Instagram you have like the Instagram versus real life? Anybody? Anybody? Am I just talking to myself here? Okay, so this is Instagram. This is real life. Hey, hey, yes, I married my high school sweetheart. So for all of y'all who are like your parents are like, you're just gonna stop dating him. You're gonna grow up. Living proof that when you find a good one, like a good kitten, you get your claws in. Me and you, boo, me and you. We've been together now. I'm not gonna actually tell you because then you can do the math. We've been together 20 days and we've been together a long time. And I have to tell you that this photo wouldn't happen if it wasn't for somebody sitting in the room. Brianna, back there, that woman back there, she's my best friend since we were 14. When I tell you that somebody in this room can change your dang life, I'm not joking. So I'm a girl who my parents didn't give us money in high school, and I really wanted to be involved in sports, and I really wanted to be involved with activities, and my parents didn't have money, so I got a job in high school, and she got a job in high school, and she was a lot better at the job, and we worked off commission. Right? Commission is like, we give you a piece for everything that you do. She was really good at it. And so prom came and I was just so into this guy. I was like, it was my dream to go to prom with this guy and I couldn't afford it. And in a white envelope, she put $100. And I went to prom and I ended up marrying him. And she was at our wedding, you know. So when I tell you that somebody in here can change your life, I'm a living testament to it. So in order for people to understand why I'm so passionate, this crazy Latina standing in front of you being like, yo, whatever you think it is, you're right. Go and do it. How bad do you want it? So for me, the story starts in 2005, where all of a sudden I had to start thinking differently. Because what got me in my life in 2005, I was tired and I was stressed and I was overwhelmed. And I don't know if you guys have ever felt like that, but I lived my whole life tired, stressed, and overwhelmed. But I'm a first-generation Latina, first-generation college student. I got into UCLA Law School on a full-ride scholarship. But I looked around and everybody else was tired, stressed, and overwhelmed. And I was like, okay, I guess this is life. It wasn't until my mom had a relapse with brain cancer during my first year. And I went from being tired, stressed, and overwhelmed to being really depressed. And I didn't know how to get out from it. So I drop out of law school. And I'm like, I'll go back, I'll get my scholarships, but I need to be with my mom. And so I move back home. My mom was 50 years old and I was 25. And I was struck with the realization that life is short. When we thought my mom was lying on her deathbed, she wasn't talking about the things that she did with her life. She was talking about the things she didn't do in her life. And there I was in law school and I'm like, I hate it here. And what? I'm going to be here because I have to? I'm going to be here because this is what society thinks. I'm going to be here because I put all this pressure on myself as a Latina to support my family and move us out from East Los Angeles into West Los Angeles. Fingers crossed, sweet baby Jesus. I hope so. That was a joke. Do you guys get it? Like, you know, LA, you know, if you're in East LA, you go to West LA, you're like, coming on up. Yeah, that's what I thought. And I went to law school in West Los Angeles. I was like, it's happening. And I was just like, is this it? Is this it? I hope not. I got married in 3 months to my high school sweetheart because I wanted my mom to see us get married. And I should note that before I walked in this room, my mom FaceTimed me. It was a butt dial, but it's okay. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, Mom, I'm about to go speak. Okay, call me after. I am telling you that everything happens for a reason. She had to be that sick to stop me in my path to say you're going the wrong way. And because she stopped me, I can stand in front of a room of you to say you're going the wrong way. If you are not happy, if you're not excited, if you are not passionate, you're too young to throw your life away. And she taught me that. So we got married, and my husband, and I mean, poor thing, he's like married a hot mess, right? Because I was like, I don't want to go back to law school. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Who am I? Oh my gosh, all the things. And he's like, whoa. He asked me, what do you want to do with your life and be happy? And I said, I want to be a photographer. He said, okay, but you don't have a camera. I know, but if I did, I think I could do it. This question changed my life. And I hope this question today changes yours. Do you have the courage to say something crazy? I wanted to be a photographer and I didn't have a camera, but on January 1st, 2006, I opened my very first digital camera. And let me tell you something, I was terrible. I was awful. My dad is a pastor of a church in East Los Angeles, and I tried giving away my photography services for free and people still said no. I was like, you're making God so sad, okay? I went to Google and I taught myself how to become a photographer. And I took my camera with me everywhere I went. And I shot everything. And when people wouldn't pose for me, I would go to orange trees. I still have pictures of the orange tree. When people wouldn't sit for me, I'd take out a pair of shoes and shoot the shoes. Because I can never get to where I want to go if I didn't have the humility to shoot the things that when nobody was watching. So whatever it is that you want to do today, I want you to do it when no one is watching. So then if you could believe how crazy life is, that by 2009, I was voted one of the top wedding photographers in the world. By 2010, voted the top most influential photographers. And by 2012, most socially influential photographers. These are people saying, who is listening to her? So this is about the point of the story where like, whoa, you taught yourself on the University of Google and now you're out here winning awards? Yes, I am living proof that you could be terrible and still do what you want to do. Because people will say, Jasmine, you are unqualified. No, I wasn't unqualified. I was unprepared. I was unfunded. I was unconnected. I was all of those things. I didn't know a single person in my life who had ever started a business. Not one. So not only did I not have connections, not only did I not have money, not only did I not know what I was doing. Hey, I can't argue with it, but I did it anyway. I had no business starting a business, but I did. And you probably have no business doing the thing that you want to write down in your notes today. The question is, will you do it? I've come to believe that impossibilities are actually possibilities in disguise. How hard do you want to work to discover your truth? Everything you want is yours. Have the courage to say it and have your actions map your desires. How will you show up? I ended up just talking so much about what I was that I did. They're like, okay, but Jasmine, how did you get those awards? I just started talking. There was this crazy thing that happened that didn't exist for your grandma, for your great grandmother, for your mother, for your aunties. This didn't exist, the internet. And it was free. And I just started saying, I have opinions about starting a business. And I became such an avid proponent that I started getting my very first large-scale interview was with USA Today. Then I got it featured on MSNBC, started getting featured in outlets like Forbes. And just in January, I was named an entrepreneur's go-to guide for social media presence. Now, let me tell you something. I do not say this because I think I'm cute, I'm fashionable, I'm fun, I'm an Instagrammer. Yeah, no. I say that because I have the audacity to dream. I have the audacity to say, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm going to talk about it and bring you along in the journey. I have the audacity to put myself out online, and when people criticize me, I say, okay, I can't hear you over the din of those beaching, like the crashing waves of Corona Del Mar. Hey, you like the loop around? Okay. I'm going to start this conversation here and let you know that I am not an influencer. A couple weeks ago, at a conference, older gentleman, oh, Jasmine Starr, I hear you are an influencer. And I said, oh, no, I'm so sorry, I'm not. I'm an entrepreneur who has influence. Thank you for the golf clap. That's very Orange County. You guys are blending in so well. You know, because at my daddy's church, they'd be like, amen, yes. Speak it back to me. My question to you is, will you say, I am the thing that I dream of with influence? I believe you could say that. How hard will you work? Because we're going to have a moment of real talk. Some people can't stand me, to which I say, I'm okay with that. I just need you to trust me. So ladies in the room, if I'm rubbing you the wrong way, I'm cool with it. I ain't trying to be your best friend. I got one or 10. What I am going to say, it's going to ruffle some feathers, is influencers without their own product or service are just poorly paid billboards for rich business owners. Oh, right? We don't want to talk about this. But let me tell you something. As an entrepreneur, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to say it again, so just in case the people in the back didn't hear me. You have value, and somebody is going to not compensate you for it. So people are like, that's so rude, Jasmine. You just don't even know. You're so out of touch. Okay. So let's talk about how much do influencers really make? Well, let's take a look at this. Industry stats are about 1 penny per follower. So if you have 200,000 followers, there's a good chance a company will pay you $2,000 a post. However, companies have gotten that much smarter because not all 200,000 followers are the same. We now have bots and we now have accounts where people aren't engaging. If you have a 200,000 person account and your engagement rate is 1%, you're not getting 1 penny. If you have a 200,000 person account and you're getting 3% engagement, you're getting a penny. But here's the thing. How many posts can you post again and again and again? Because you're like, oh my gosh, Jasmine, I could do 30 posts at $2,000, you won't get any followers because people just say, you're just always selling to me. So we have to balance being an influencer with selling, with being ourselves and growing and engaging. So let's actually get into some real fact numbers from Huffington Post. Let's take a look at Mallory. 28,000 Instagram followers, 109 YouTube subscribers. Her annual income from social media is $12,000 and the money she makes from YouTube is $5,000. $17,000 a year. That is about, I wasn't very good at math, I don't know, $1,300, $1,400 a month. Can anybody live on $1,400 a month? So you know, I read the article. Her husband is funding her Instagram account. Let's talk about Glow. 30,000 followers on Instagram. Average annual income from social media. monthly bumped up from 1,000 to 2,000 this month. Baby boo, I don't know if I believe that. Let's split the difference. $1,500 a month in New York City. Do you think being an influencer is making money? She probably can't even pay for Ubers in a month with that money. Let's talk about feet. 16,000 Instagram followers, average annual income from social media, $6,200. All of these are coming from Huffington Post. So my question often is, I believe influencers promote businesses that make a ton of money from their endorsement, but was the payment fair? I am taking a big stance against anybody who thinks that they can live their dream life. I'm an influencer and I go to like Tahiti and I go on vacation. Do you know that as an influencer, when you go to Tahiti and you're on vacation, you're spending most of your days in sales pitches because when they come, they're like, let's talk to you about our property. Let's give you a tour of the spa. No, you can't get a spa treatment, but we'd love an Instagram photo in the spa treatment. And then we're going to walk you down. You have to go horseback riding, but only for 5 minutes so you can get the photo. You're working for every minute on that. It's such a good business that I could pay for my own trip to Tahiti, thank you very much. Okay. No. See, here's the thing. I lost half the room, but don't worry, I'm gonna bring you on back. Here's a real email. I blurred out their names because no tea, no shade. I ain't trying your job dime. Hi, Jasmine Star. I hope you're having a great week. I'm just following my previous emails because there were plenty. I was wondering if you'd be interested in promoting Blank on your Instagram account. Blank is the leading marketplace to buy and sell fashion. The campaign I am offering is commission-based. Y'all know I'm terrible at commission. Remember the story back in the day? The commission is based at $2 per install. It's a great and easy way to make extra cash while promoting our amazing app. You only need to upload a story with the video that we provide, or you can create your own with a swipe up. Let me know if you're interested. $2? If they install. Here's the shady part. There's tens of thousands of people who look at my stories, and you're not going to pay me for that exposure? Get the heck out of here. Are you kidding me? I want to have an Instagram account that serves you, that makes you feel seen, that makes you trust me. And if I'm going to sell something, it's going to be my own. Ladies, what do you want to do? Do you want to be a ballerina? Do you want to be in direct sales? Do you want to be an artist? Good, do it. But make your own money along the way and use social media to build that up. Now, here's one thing. I know some people give me stank eye. See, you just don't know. You just don't get it. I can see it. Good, okay. I am not saying that being an influencer is a bad thing. What I am saying is I would prefer if you were influential. Because what has happened is that 10 years ago, social media didn't exist. And then all of a sudden, social media has made celebrities. But let me tell you something about celebrities being made early on, is that Instagram gave it to you, and Facebook gave it to you, and MySpace back in the day for the oldies gave it to you. And guess what we have seen? Mark Zuckerberg gives and Mark Zuckerberg takes away. You're gonna be like, oh my God, I have 5,000 followers. And all of a sudden you're like, how did I only get 5 new followers? It's called more people being on the platform and they're going to have you pay for you to be a celebrity. So you could be popular this year and next year. And then what happens when Instagram is no longer the thing? Or what happens if the only time somebody will ever see your post, you have to pay for it? What happens then? If your business is based on somebody else's platform, it is not if, it is a matter of when your business will start declining. So everyone's just like, oh my God, this sucks. Okay, let's go back to your happy place. If you could do one thing for the rest of your life and be happy, what did you put on your notes? And if somebody wrote influencer, hey, I'm a straight shooter. Here's the thing. I'm an intuit. I know people put influencer on their account. On the paper. Does anybody have the courage to admit it? Anybody? I'm gonna point you out. I know who you are, but I won't. Everyone's like totally freaked out. No, I know who you are. I can see it in your energy. I do this professionally. I know when I'm speaking to somebody. It's like when you're in church and you're like, the pastor's like over here and it's like their eyes on you. Like, oh yeah, they're talking to me. I know that what's happening right now. Now, if you want to be an influencer, baby boo, let's talk. We'll get you there. Build something on your own. Influence that. I'm here to deal it to you straight because I don't want you coming back to me in 8 years and be like, dang it, I spent all this time building on a platform that was never mine. So look back at your notes. And if you want to say I want to be an influencer, great. Tell me first what you can build influence around. Then let's have a conversation. Because my question is, can you be influential doing what? dog walking, jewelry making, graphic design, blogging? The answer is yeah. The big bold statement that I'm going to come out and say is you could be influential doing anything you want, but you have to choose something. You can't just say, I'm just like a Kardashian in the making. What that proves to us is that it is possible to be popular for being popular, but it is not likely. It is not likely for you to become a Kardashian without having all the money it took in the beginning to be a Kardashian. So my advice to you ladies is, what can I do to build my own path? So how do you build influence? Well, what I want you to first do is, write blog posts, because that's free. Post on social media, because that's free. Create videos, because that's free. Take photos, go live, tell your friends, host events. Host events, ask for collaborations. Now you might be saying, okay, but Jasmine, I'm not really that great of a writer. Okay, don't blog. It's free and Google can search it, but don't worry, we can get away from it. Post on social. That doesn't take any money. It just takes time and effort for you to show up and be exactly who you are. Create videos. Jasmine, I don't have a video camera. Turn on Instagram and record some stories, or y'all, TikTok is just like it. TikTok is it. And I'm like, for sure, fine. You can do like the dances. Like, that's great. And you can do the lip syncing. That's great. But could you do a lip syncing around the thing it is you want to do? Because I honestly, if I was trying to book photography gigs, I go to TikTok. I was like, here's my camera. I love it. Yes, I do. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't care. I'd do it. I would do whatever I needed to do to get me to where I want to go. You don't need money now. You're doing your grandma, you're doing your abuelitas, you're doing everybody a disservice not to take the tools that you have right now and say, I'm going to change. So I believe you must become an authority for a small group of people. Small group of people. I think you need to care about them. I think you need to help them. I think you need to support them. I am telling you, you will gain influence when you stop caring about you and you start caring about other people. That's the next generation. The generation that got us here was like, look at me, oh my gosh, look at me, right? How many times? I'm on vacation. I'm at Coachella. I'm drinking cappuccino. I'm in bed. Oh my God. Okay, we've seen it all before, right? Like, it's so predictable. We laugh because how many times have we seen it? That's old. That's what got us here. But what will get you to influence is creating something new. And the new is caring about a small group of people. Because there are people, because you're saying, no, Jasmine, there's other people who have more. I am telling you, I see it every single day. There are people who are doing more with less than what you have. And you say, Jasmine, I have nothing. Oh, you just wait and see. There's people who have a lot less. Like, less than 2,000 followers. Stephanie, she's in breathwork. Breathwork. You ever heard of breathwork? Well, now she's doing collaborations with Lululemon, Yoga Journal, Anatomy Trains. Less than $1,500. She's a makeup artist. She's not an influencer, but she's not an influencer, but she has influence. She scored a free 6-page magazine worth $10,000, and she's doing collaborations. She has 119 followers, and she's a farmer in Missouri, and she has a farm, and a local chef wants to collaborate with her. She's living her dream with less than 200 followers. Less than 2,300 followers. Leah, she quit her job. She works from home and she doubled her income. There are people who have less and are doing more. So, in closing, because everybody's like, Jasmine, what is your point? Well, my point is, I believe the way you get what you want in life is to go after your dreams and create influence. That's just it. My whole point, what you walk away from, you can get what you want when you help others, when you serve them, when you create content about them and not about you. And you focus less on vanity metrics and more about how they will impact your life, especially right now, because you got time. I want you to go after your dreams today. I want you to look at your notes. I want you to, for some reason, bring out these notes in a year and be like, I wrote that? And go back to that, because that is the truest point. Nothing more than right now is what you're putting is truth. It's not affected by the fact that you walked down your graduation aisle. It's not affected that you're taking like a job at like Sunglasses Hut and you're like going to school part-time at ICC. Like, this is you. So I want you to go after that. And I don't want anybody, not me, not your mentor, not your mama, not your cousin, not your dad, not your brother, not your sister. I don't want anybody stopping you from the thing that you should and could be doing. Because the thing that I want everybody to walk away from in this moment is, I don't care the story that you told yourself when you walked into this room, but as you walk out from Brandenman University, I hope that the thing that you know is that the world needs you. The world needs your head, your brain, your heart, your soul, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet. The world needs you. We've all been placed here for a very specific reason. The question becomes, are you willing to use it? Are you willing to let people see you? Are you willing to let people criticize you? Are you willing to take big risks? Are you willing to stop telling your story of, I came from less than, that's why I can't get here? The minute you get there, ladies, the game changes. So, I don't know how much time we have. 10 minutes. We have 10 minutes. I talk fast. Does anybody have a question? Because we could probably get through about 5 questions. Yes.
Okay, and thank you for being here, and congratulations on your baby girl.
Thank you.
In a month's time, like in a month, do you ever have, like how many bad days do you have, and how quickly do you get over them?
The question is, in a month, how many bad days do you have, and how quickly do you get over them? Okay, we got real. For years, I struggled with depression. That's like real talk. And I think that people see like me as like very outgoing and extroverted. I'm not. I'm actually an introvert. But I stand up in front of people and I talk because I feel like my purpose in the world is to empower people to believe that what is not possible for them is. So I get out of my own way. But prior to getting to that, getting out of bed was very hard for years. And so when people ask, how often do you have a bad day? Well, I've become so in tuned and done a lot of work. I went through therapy. I worked with a lot of people, did a lot of praying. I do a lot of meditating. I believe that every day I'm on the cusp of a bad day. That's just my truth. And so I have to wake up and I have to tell myself a different story. You're enough. You got this. Try again. It's a new day. Love yourself. When I say nice things to myself, I know that sounds super crazy. That was not how I was raised. I told my dad I was going to a therapist, and they're like, oh, that's so Orange County. And I was like, it is, Dad. It is. And I'm so happy. I'm happy I'm doing the hard work to admit that I'm hurting. So every day could be a bad day, but if you prepare yourself for success, you have the opportunity and the power to turn it into a good day. Ooh, those gangster tears, be almost. Didn't fall. Is there another question? Yes.
How did you overcome maybe cultural feedback from doing something that was outside of what was normal in your family?
No, I just didn't care. You get to such a point in your life. And here's the thing. I was gifted by watching my mom. We thought, the doctor said, she was going to die. When you watch the person you love the most die, you're just like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about you, and I don't care about you, and I don't care about you, and I don't care about you. I care about this. So how do I get past cultural norms? How do I get past people's opinions? You stop caring. The minute I stopped caring what other people said about me, what other people thought about me, I literally felt like I was like, phew. Their opinions of you don't pay your bills. Their opinions of you won't get you to where you want to go. So if you want to live your life being dictated by somebody else, go right ahead. But you did that. Will you walk out of this room? And when you go home, let me just tell you something. There was an energetic shift. Everybody here is vibrating at a different level. And everyone's like, whoa, this is super woo. It is boo-boo, but you had a breakthrough. For those people who cried at any point today, your body released some trash. And you want to know what's going to come up when you get home? That. Because God and the universe is going to ask you to step up and step out. They're coming at you and you have to say, I'm making the decision because now I'm a different person. I can't go back to who I used to be. I'm called to be somebody different. How then will I show up? So how did I care about the cultural differences? I stopped caring the same way I stopped caring about anything else. And that is an active decision every day. Because every time you open up social media, man, it's like a drive-by shooting. You look like a man. Fix your grammar. This is so stupid. And they're all anonymous. Every single one of them. And you want to know what I do? It's so petty. It's so catty. It's awful. I just picture them, you know, with sweatpants on a big overstuffed couch, like wiping the Dorito orange stuff from their fingers. I'm going to type this. Bye. 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 Put some bulletproof windows up in my house. Bye. And move on. Delete and block. delete and block. That's my morning routine. Bye. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
What's something that you do or tell yourself to help with your self-confidence?
Ooh. All right, gangster tears. No. You have to tell yourself that you belong in that boardroom. And you have to tell yourself that you belong in the White House. And you have to tell yourself that you belong when you walked into Brandman University. I will say that when I went to college, I was one of the very few Latinas in the room. And when I graduated college, I graduated summa cum laude. That's the top of the top. I was the only Latina, and I was one of two women. I had to tell myself when I got up on that stage, you belong. I belong there, not because I felt like I was qualified. I belong there because my dad sacrificed, and his mom sacrificed, and my grandma sacrificed. They worked in sweatshops in East Los Angeles, making bikinis and basketballs. There were bikinis I never wore, thank you, sweet God, because I'm not prepared for that. And there were basketballs that I couldn't afford to play with. So I tell myself, you belong in that room because you are going to set somebody's new ceiling. I hope that my ceiling that I break for you, you stand on my shoulders. And I hope that somebody else who comes up behind you, they stand on your shoulders. If you don't give yourself the permission to get in the room, you'll never get in the room. I am telling y'all, you guys are watching me at my lowest point. I hope that when you turn on the TV, you see me. And you don't see me because I'm popular or cool. You see me because I'm trailblazing. You see me because you said, that girl's doing it. I never once saw a brown girl stand on the stage. How do I tell myself to walk into this room? For you, for you, for you, and for you, and for you, and for you. That you, as a brown woman, can stand up to others and say, I belong. I'm good enough to be here. And let me tell you something, and don't get it twisted. The tear has not fallen. The tear has not fallen. We good. My makeup is still intact, y'all. You will have to jump higher, talk louder, be nicer. You will have to show up early, and you will have to stay late. You will get paid less, and you will work harder. They will be shutting you down, and still you rise. Your story is to do twice as much work for half the accolades. And when you do it, you know that somebody coming up behind you is not going to have to work as hard as you. I stand in this room to tell you that you belong. Now go out and do it. I want to say thank you so, so, so much to the Rohrer Society for Brandman University and to Anna Ackerman for this warm and wonderful invite. Ladies, the future is yours. I am asking you and I am begging you to please stand up and do something and make a difference. You can make a difference at the pet shop you're working at. You can make a difference at the coffee shop you're working at. You can make a difference at an Ivy League university or at a community college. I just want you to speak your truth. Build out your dream and be influential. Thank you 1,000 times over.
So what do you think, friend? Is your goal to be a business owner with influence or an influencer? Do you really care a whole heck of a lot about vanity metrics, or do you care more about profitability on your end of month statement? I'd love to hear what you think, so you can find me on Instagram at Jasmine Starr and shoot me a DM because I love connecting with you. Speaking of connecting, if you liked this keynote, please be sure to subscribe to The Jasmine Starr Show from wherever you're listening, because I am planning on sharing my keynotes, full keynotes, exclusively only on the podcast. So you can get future episodes automatically downloaded to your phone, and then we could be virtual BFFs. Okay, so until next time, I hope you have the audacity to be influential, sweet friend, because you belong here.